I forgot what that sounded like. We'd be like, recording in progress. Is that our new intro now? Just recording.
Yes.
Everybody.
So
It's
we're
us.
back.
How many people do you think are like, these bitches left us for like a year and think that they have like the audacity to come back?
Probably five.
Five. I think, yeah, I think we don't
Our
have a lot
five.
of people left.
Our five.
Our five whole followers now.
Yes, our
We
five listeners. I
lost
probably.
any fan base we had.
Yeah.
Actually,
Or I probably kept him entertained with my personal Instagram. So I'll give myself credit for that.
I do you know how it's funny and irritating at the same time? I get sent your stuff all the fucking time from people at my gym, and they're like, this is so hysterical. And for some of the videos, I was there when you recorded them, and in my mind, I'm like, yeah, the seven takes we took to get it.
I know.
And then I'm just like, yeah, that's my friend. And they're like, no, you don't have friends.
Really, she's my favorite.
I did. I had to tell. It was actually one of my coaches. Him and I send, it's really funny. We mainly send like raunchy shit back and forth. His name's, we call him Big Jeff. And he's pretty much like a teddy bear. Imagine, okay, you need the visual. He looks like Steve Carell, but sounds like Owen Wilson. And anyway, so he was sending me some of the videos of like you and Devin doing breath work. And
Oh
he was
yeah.
like, here, this is gonna help you. And I was like, you do know I know them, right? And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was just like, that's Misty. And he was like, well, yeah, that's her tag. I was like, no, that's Misty. I was like, she's literally my maid of honor. And he was like, what? But
That
she's
is so funny.
like social.
Not really. I'm just
You're like an extroverted introvert.
No, I'm actually more. So I redid the Myers-Briggs test, and I was before an ENFP, but in a way, I think I lied on it when I did it before. And I retook it, and I was like, I need to be brutally honest, right? Like, these aren't traits that I want to have. These are traits that I do have. And I'm actually an INFP. And I was like, I am an introvert and I have to accept that, but it's okay. 'Cause I'm like, I don't know. I always thought it was like a bad thing. And now I'm like, no, like it's okay.
I feel like I haven't done one of those in a long, like in a long time. So I wonder what I am now, especially because like we've talked about how after this year, both of us feel like we've changed so much.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm not as type A as I used to be. I'm type A when
Yeah.
I want to be. I'm like a
Yeah.
selective type A. And then I try
Yeah.
to force myself to be a type B because like fuck extra work, right?
Yeah.
So I really wonder how my mentality, like how I've changed since then.
Yeah. And yeah, because there's a lot. And obviously, that's what we're going to talk about is the past year, because there have been a lot of changes.
We
So when
promise it won't be the whole episode of like, hey,
Nope.
here's an update, and then us disappear again.
Well, what? When was the last episode? When did it air? Have you looked?
I have it somewhere. I haven't checked it in a long time. I think it was
It has to be well over a year ago.
like over a year ago. Hold on. Just gonna go to our Spotify because that's probably gonna be the easiest thing to find it,
Yeah.
honestly.
When was it?
Woo! February 16th, 2022.
Oh, okay. So it has to be there, like,
It's like a year and 2 months.
yeah.
Fuck. Oh, that's so funny.
Okay.
You know how
What
like
was the episode called?
That's why I laughed so hard, but then I scrolled up and realized it was behavior of competitors. But the episode before that is why some people quit. How funny would that have been if that would have been the last episode and then we just like fell off the face of the earth?
Yeah. Oh,
Oh,
that's funny.
bless.
But oh, that's funny. Okay, so yeah. So like it's been a year.
It's been a minute.
So you'd already gone through your move, already went to another gym.
Yeah, I had just started another gym. I had just moved. It was right before my significant other moved out and we bought a house together. So we've bought a house since then. Been at my new job for a bit. Started a women's program, kind of coasting on it now. And then Misty took over all the responsibilities I left behind.
Yes.
How many
Yes.
okay, you are coaching women's now, multiple places, and teens and kids. So how many classes are you teaching a week now?
So I dropped 1 week, 1 day a week, just so I had a little bit more freedom in the evenings. So I'm teaching two women's classes in the mornings, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Teens Tuesdays and Thursdays in the evenings, and kids Wednesdays, and then a unofficial women's class Friday evenings.
So all the
So,
things. And since the last episode, you have gotten your purple belt.
yes. So I got my purple belt in June of last year. And been about 10 months and David added a stripe to it. So David was like, "Oh,
Sure.
I forgot to give out stripe." So Karen, Manuel, and myself all got them because we got our purple belts around the same time too. And so in the past 10 months, I've experienced, so it's not just the year and whatever since the episode aired, it's been 10 months of growth as a purple belt. And then, as a person, growth that I was very stubborn to trying to accept, responsibilities I've been trying to accept, but a lot of good, positive changes. And with that, also to like in job changes as well. So, experiencing a lot within the past year.
Yeah, because you're, for those of you that don't know, Misty actually does a lot of PR work for like everyone right now. Honestly, you do it for your
Yeah.
ski gym, you do it for No Worries Academy with Carl Reed, and then also in charge of the Body by Boss page, your own personal
Yes.
pages.
Yes.
I'm gonna try and be less of a freeloader and be better about our social media.
Well, and what I can do is because I do utilize my personal social media a lot, and if you've followed me on my personal Instagram, I'm constantly posting on that. So I'll utilize that as well for a lot of our updates and stuff too. So
Yeah,
try
keep
to
everybody in
balance
the
between
know.
the two. Because I was like, there's no damn way I'm doing another Instagram page. I was like, I can't do.
Like, I can't handle it. Well, that,
But
and then that's kind of how this came back about is that recently Misty and I were both at the Body by Boss Performance Immersion Retreat. Of course, Misty on like the teaching side and me on the student side. That was trippy and amazing at the same time. Because we've never really been in those roles where it's reversed before. So
yeah.
that was really nice. For those of you that don't know, I am still like bottom of the barrel purple belt that I'm going to be for the rest of my life. So
No.
Misty's going to overtake me. I know it. But it was really, really cool. I'm not going to lie, to finally be on like the other end of things, especially since we had spent so much time apart. So that was the time like I could really see how just confident your teaching you've gotten since I'd left, which was
Thank
just
you.
fucking amazing. And that Misty was the one that she approached me and she was like, hey, how do you feel about getting the podcast started back up? And we both agreed that it was just going to be different this time because we originally wanted to do this to help other people, but you can't pour from an empty cup kind of deal. And that's why we took so much time off, where we were like, we need to address our own priorities, our own needs, once and figure out to get ourselves in a better place, because we can't help others if we aren't in a good place ourselves. And so I think, and we talked about that kind of being today's focus, was just how we did that in terms of like, how did we finally find balance? And even if we haven't really found that perfect ideal balance, routine, schedule, whatever that looks like for you, how we're able to implement that in our day-to-day anymore, so that, you know, we can do stuff like this where when we choose to, we can try to help others based off of our own experience. Again, we're not professionals. We're not ADCC champions or huge sponsored athletes, black belts. Like, we're not. We are just normal people who have day-to-day jobs, who love to do jiu-jitsu and struggle a lot.
Yeah. Is this something you've learned in the past year?
What did I learn this past year?
The phrase "you can't pour from an empty cup" is something I never would have heard. I would have never heard you say those words in that
order. I said something the other day, and I want to say it was something. Oh, it was like the social media post I made the other day about readiness is not a feeling, it's a decision. And that was something Natalie said, like after we gave our testimonies at the retreat and we were talking about why some people should seek help. And I said that it was like 3 years of y'all being like, hey, you should consider doing this. And I didn't. And then I finally just sucked it up and did it. And afterwards she said that, and that resonated with me.
Yeah, like, well, there's a, watching that growth part, like, we can visually see these things, like, I can visually see the growth we've experienced. Like, I find that my true passion is teaching. Like, I find a lot of joy in teaching. One of the reasons I like competing is because I can only grow after each competition. Like, that's the only direction I can go. But as a teacher, and I'm not saying that you have to compete to teach either, but if I'm working with a student that wants to compete, I can put myself in their shoes and say, these are the things you're going to experience when this is happening. So be it having any success at all or not, there are things that I can learn and grow. And that's like one of the, I've grown a lot in a lot of ways, like accepting a lot of the responsibilities I've had to accept at the gym. I am the only, so there are five female purple belts at UFC gym right now. Mm-hmm. And two of which are working on different things outside of jiu-jitsu right now, while still being high-level athletes. Two of them are just coming in to train, and I am the only one that's in a coaching role, competitor role, training role, and really my jobs, every single job I have now has something to do with jiu-jitsu, every single one.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm really having to step up with a lot of these roles and responsibilities. And from previous episodes people have listened to when we started the podcast, which was in 2020, so it was literally 3 years ago from where we're at now, when we had talked about
that.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And when we had discussed things like women's programs, I was like, I don't want to learn from anybody except for like a female black belt and maybe a brown belt. I was like, that's it, because of my experiences. But now what I'm doing is I'm taking everything I've learned and gained from those experiences. And now I'm like, this is how I'm going to approach teaching women. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I'm doing, because one of the classes I'm teaching is like an unofficial women's class, is just for the women who are currently training jiu-jitsu. Because as people know, the gym that I train at is a MMA gym and a fitness gym. the only women that are allowed in that class right now are the ones that currently train jiu-jitsu, because what I'm trying to do is build them up where they're at now. They all know what a shrimp is, a technical stand-up. They know how to move their body. So what I'm trying to do in that class is cater to them in a way that builds up their confidence to where they can in turn do that for newer women coming into the gym. And that's now my approach, is helping them understand that they're capable of doing something more, but maybe I can explain the information so differently than, David does, where he's going to teach at this level. I can take what's up this level and I can meet you down here. And so that's what I'm trying to do, because I've been so resistant. And I was like, I'm going to fall into this role at some point, and here I am at two different gyms. But I love teaching. So now I'm really using my passion for teaching and trying to help other people that way. But in that time, I still want to compete and I still want to train and do other things. And that's something that I learned. And like, I love teaching kids, but I want to scale back a little bit more from kids and teach teens and adults. And I'm really finding how much I enjoy doing that right now.
Yeah, just seeing how much the teens program has just, it's not even grown, but exploded. Like, that's the only way I can describe it, is because you started with like two, three, and now you literally have a horde of like monsters that
Yeah.
are just taking people out at tournaments. It's fantastic to see. And just also, you're an empathetic person. And so I think it's because, like, you did so well with kids because you treated them like adults, whereas so many people treat them like kids and you don't. And then with the teens, it's the same way, but you're at a really good age range where you're able to still connect to them and not be like this scary, terrifying old adult who doesn't understand them.
Yeah.
And then you've also translated that right into adults, because you are an adult, so you're able to connect with
Yeah.
them. So I think it's really cool to be able to see you teach the same things, just how, and you don't teach them very differently. You just teach it a little bit more detail. But just to see that translation from how you, as an instructor, you can teach the youngest kid to the oldest man or woman. There's no real obstacle. Whereas, like, sometimes, for example, like, you go to seminars, and sometimes that stuff where you're just like, okay, this is more of like a day zero white belt, like, I didn't take anything from this, or it's so far over your head and so far advanced that you're like, oh, if I wasn't already a black belt walking into here, I wouldn't have understood anything.
Yeah.
And how, like, sometimes even now, like, I go into seminars and I'm just like, the only reason I like picked it up as quick as I could is because it was my game. But then I look around at these people that I'm like, you're not guard players, y'all are lost. And it's just like, the only reason I'm not is because I already had a basic understanding of stuff. So that's why I think you, as an instructor, is just really great, is because you meet everyone where they're at, but you give everyone something regardless of where they're at. You're very much just like, all right, here's what we're doing. And then for those of you that are a little bit more experienced, here's your detail. And then for those of you that are really experienced, this is why we do that detail.
Yeah. And something I think I don't know if I told you, but I have ADHD. I have it. And one thing I've been able to do is learn how to manage it in training, and learning how to help those that I see have the same thing and make things more understandable or digestible for them. And it's also like teaching kids. Not every kid has ADHD, but every kid I know is not listening to what you're saying. They're going to look at you while you're teaching. They've gone off into space. And that's just a kid thing. But as people tend to progress, and you have adults that can watch something and pick it up, drill it, there are other people that are like, yeah, I did not pay attention to anything at the same time. And I can also help things make sense for people who are in a similar boat. And also, one thing I've noticed from little kids to adults, people have to understand how to move their body in this brand new way. Yes, I've been training for 5 years. The majority of the time, those 5 years, I've been on the mats training, or I've been studying technique and really trying to break things down. Not everybody's going to do that, and that's fine. But what I have to do when I'm watching you drill a move, I'm like, oh, you don't understand that you have to move your body this way, not that way you're doing. So an example of this was, I was helping some women with the basic triangle choke on your back, right? So closed guard to triangle. And a lot of them were shifting their body to where they were trying to get on their side. So they were moving their partner completely to their side as if they were going to go and take the back, not do the triangle choke. And they were like, I don't know why this keeps happening. And I'm like, oh, you're moving your body this way, right? Like you're turning to your side rather than moving like a windshield wiper under your partner. So I had to break that back down to say, no, like you're just moving under your partner. And I said, I don't want you to also feel like you're doing something wrong, because you're not. You just put yourself in an even more better position, honestly. But what we're doing is perfecting the triangle choke specifically. So going back and saying, move your body like a windshield wiper. Don't get to your side. Because if you get to your side, you're going to change the whole direction of where you two are going. And kids are the same way. I'm like, oh, you're not getting this move because you are missing this one piece of how to move your body. And so I'm like, okay, so let's go back and break this down. It's same for kids and adults. Like I watched the kids struggle with the exact same thing these adults are struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a new thing. Or like you have a first day white belt who's like not being able to shrimp. And I'm like, yeah, you've never moved like this in your life. Why would you know how to do? Like, give yourself a little grace that you don't have a perfect shrimp, because people who train every day, yes, this is like breathing to them. But if you have never shrimped a day in your life, it is the hardest move.
And it's funny that you say that,
yeah,
where it's mainly just movement, because, and some people are going to come at me, right? It's, they're either A, not doing the warm-ups, because every move in jiu-jitsu is more than likely tied to the warm-ups that you're doing. And then two, people don't realize it, and they're doing all these warm-ups wrong. You know, they think, oh, I just need to go through the motion. And it's like, actually, whenever you're doing this, you should already be thinking of like, where would my frame be? For example, like if you're shrimping. And this has been something that I've been working on the past couple months with two of our black belts, have really like drilled it into my head to have like the most basic concepts, basic fundamentals, where like we stripped down like my whole game, and they were like, quit doing that purple belt shit, where it's like, you know, you get distracted. It's like a squirrel and shiny object, or all these like, yeah, Instagram guards. And it doesn't help that I still do a bunch of inverted stuff all the time just to piss them off. But even then, they're very much just like, okay, go back to your frame. Like just learning how to correctly frame. And then also like Shanji's really good about how he has a modified frame where it's actually under the armpit. And it's like, oh, everything before this I learned where it's, you're always framing across the face, and that is good. But then there's also times where you can use this frame, or when you should be framing here instead, or if you're framing here, you're going to get cross-faced, you know? So even just going back and relearning warm-ups and realizing what a frame is. And honestly, like the biggest thing that has changed how I approach jiu-jitsu right now is just, what do you need? Where it's, if I'm trying to pass you and you're trying to prevent the pass with your guard, it's like, what do you need to prevent my passing? Where it's as simple as like, okay, you need some sort of connection to prevent me from progressing. So how do I break that connection? Or how do I prevent you from turning your hips? How do I prevent you from getting on your shoulder? You know, stuff like that. And so I feel like just trying to strip everything down to basic concepts has completely changed how I like do anything in jiu-jitsu right now. On top of the fact that I went from a guard player and now I have to become a guard passer, which is a struggle. And David said that it's fake news.
Well, okay. So as we're in this theme of growth and changes, you know, what's funny is you're very strong and you're solid with your top game. Like, and I think now it's just a transition of something to what you were so used to being on your back and playing guard to accepting something new. And I had a conversation with David last night, and I was like, honestly, I love all aspects of jujitsu. Like, I'm trying to be so much more well-rounded to where I don't identify as, I just want to play guard, and this is my specific guard. And I do understand that for competing, you have to have an A game. But the problem is that you get to a point, or I've noticed this, you have an A game, but what happens when somebody beats your A game, right? You have to adapt and change. But when you look at high level jiu-jitsu athletes, competitive jiu-jitsu athletes, they're so well-rounded no matter what position you get them in. And they still have like how they're going to have like their A games or identify what their A game is. And this is just an observation that I've made, is that no matter at what point they're at in the movement, they're doing what they need to do. And I'm trying to get to that point, and I know I'm still just like still in the grand scheme of it, so new, even though I've been doing it for 5 years. I'm just noticing how many, like, I don't know, just now I want to embrace all aspects of it. 'Cause, like, if you pass, like, you really like study passing and play around with passing, passing's fun. Right? Like, it is. If you do it,
It's just
if you
so
enjoy
weird
it.
where, for example, if you would have talked to me like what a year ago when I moved here, and so I went like I'm now on a Levat affiliate and we're known for like heavy pressure passing, not guard. And so actually it's really ironic because the two seminars that we've had so far where Lovato Jr.'s come in, he's actually worked on some of his half guard stuff. And so everybody's like, oh, he's going to do passing. And then he's done half guard. And I'm just like, you suckers. Like, this is great for me. But if you would have talked to me a year ago, I would have been dead set of like, okay. And I still have this mindset sometimes where it's like, all right, these are really hard passers. And it's really making me have to step up my guard. So I'm going to continue to play guard. And then, of course, I finally hit the wall of like pretty much banging my head against a wall where it's like, I'm not going to grow if I always do what I always did. You know, that's literally the definition of insanity is doing the same thing you've always done, expecting different results. Doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting that it's going to be different. And it's like it works until a point, like you said, until your A game no longer works. I was actually thinking about this the other day after the retreat where it's some people were talking and they were just like, yeah, you know, I love to do this game. I only do this. But there's this person in the gym I don't like to go with. And it's not that you don't like to go with that person because they shut down your game. It's you yourself are not willing to adapt once you are thrown out of your game. And that's why you avoid that person because you don't want to do anything but your game. So you're like, oh, I'm not going to go with this person. Guess what? My bendy guard shit doesn't work against wrestlers. So I've had to learn how to wrestle up. And guess what? When wrestlers are there, they're my go-tos, where I'm just like, if I can get something to work on somebody who has the exact opposite of my game, that means that my game is elevated. Or it's given me other options of like, I can't do this. Like, not can't, but you got to go around it. You got to approach it differently. But it's also, I feel very much, you know, when you have like just a different energy. Like the past couple of weeks, I'm just kind of like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I feel like a surfer, honestly. And I'm just like, just go with the flow. Definitely a path of least resistance kind of person. And rolling with some ladies here recently, and they were just like, well, I'm having trouble here. And it's like, just go this way. Just go over there. You could just, why? I was like, why do you have to only do that? And they were like, well, because, and I'm just like, no, you don't have to do this one pass. Should you keep it in mind? Yeah. If you're working on it, try to make it happen. But that's not the only pass. Mm-hmm. Like Big Jeff right now, we'll be rolling, or he watches me roll all the time, especially like in comp class or something. It's when I finally kind of have a chance to turn it up a little bit more than normal, because there's people actually my size, because a lot of the classes I could do with them, it's just all of the gorillas and then me. Yeah. So it's not a good time, right? Actually, no, it's a great time. They're my favorite people to work with right now. They've made me identify as like big boy jujitsu. Sidebar. We were in comp class the other day and Jeff was running it, and he called out, we do a lot of situationals, and he called out like the five biggest guys in the room. And I just looked at him and I was like, well, thanks, Jeff. And he was like, what? And I was like, I'm fucked because I'm literally one of two smallest people in the room. Actually, it was three. It was myself, Katie, who is like exactly my size, just taller. And then a teenage boy. I was like, we're dead. We are going to die tonight. And he called me out in the middle. And I was just like, oh, great. Yeah, I'm like the sympathy role over here. But anywho, the path of least resistance. Like, why am I forcing something that's not going to work with you, or you're responding differently when I could just go over here?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like we've kind of done that with life too, where both of us, it's not just jujitsu anymore.
No.
Where we're like doing the other things that make us happy.
Yeah. So like, I quit my job at the college. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I had been there for 11 years and I was just like, no. And one thing I noticed was, because I value who I am and I value my skill set, and I know my skill set provides value. And if I'm not being heard or seen, then I'm out. Like, it's that easy. Like, I don't care. And so I left the college and then now I'm like working, I'm doing a whole bunch of other stuff that has to deal with jiu-jitsu. And so it's a lot of coaching, social media. We'll say like consulting, pretty much. And I can see where my skill set's valued, where my input's valued. And so instead of being in that path of resistance where I'm at the college and I'm just doing something that I don't love anymore. And I do understand that sometimes life, you got to make the paycheck, whether you love what you're doing or you're not. But if I'm okay letting go of this thing, then why don't I just let go of it? And I did. And I feel so good. I'm like, but it's because I let go of that path that was that resistance. I mean, it wasn't doing anything for me anymore. It just wasn't providing value into my life anymore.
And also, like, what you want changes. Like, for example, like, your taste changes over time. How come our goals and wants and needs change too? You know, that was honestly probably one of the biggest epiphanies I had this whole year. And it honestly wasn't till what, like a month ago that it happened. Where I had a one-on-one with Natalie, and as we were chatting, it was, I didn't know how to ask for support because I didn't know what I really wanted or needed. Mm-hmm. And just identifying that. And now I'm realizing so many things where it's like, I want to do the things I enjoy. I've spent almost my entire life in school to become a doctor, to get a job. And now that I've done that, it kind of, I hit a wall of, I spent all that time and energy sacrificing relationships, any social life, emotions. That was a big thing because I've compartmentalized. I can't communicate for shit. You know, just all of these things that I was like, I get that later. Well, now it's later and I don't know how to process. And so this whole year was figuring out, okay, like everything I've ever done was to get to this point. And now I'm here, I never thought past that. I always thought like, get there. And now it's just like, what do I actually want? Okay, I got the degree I wanted. Now what? Gotta, like, thankfully have a wonderful significant other, got a house, you know, But now I'm realizing, like, what do I actually want? I want a job that provides flexibility where I feel supported, where I feel cared for, and that allows me to go do the things I want to do. And that's what I'm figuring out is what do I actually want to do? I realized
Yeah.
it's actually not to live at work, not to sacrifice all of my time with my significant other. I actually don't train as much anymore. That's been the funniest part of all of this is I'm not in the gym 7 days a week. I have actually the past 2 months, I have trained jiu-jitsu 3 to 4 days a week, maximum. And this is the best I've ever been.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I
Well, and it's
it was a weird conversation. My coach was like, there were some girls that train like multiple times a day, every single day, and they don't understand why they're not getting better. And I was like, I train 3 days a week now, and this is the best I've ever felt. And they don't understand where they're like, how can you be training so minimally? Like to them, they're like, you're doing nothing. And I'm like, that's not true, but okay. It's just the focus has shifted. And now when I do train, it's actually valuable training instead of me just dicking around. But also, like, I get to come home and spend time with my dogs.
yeah.
I like that a little bit more sometimes.
Well, I know where you're at too, because like in the past few weeks that I've taken off, or almost month from training, if I do train, I'm rolling better than I have ever rolled before. I'm doing shit. I haven't, I'm just doing well, and it's literally because there's no pressure for anything. I'm not competing right now. I don't know when I'm going to compete next. And now I'm like, so when you take that pressure off, it just leaves so much more room for growth.
It's
The
just,
overall theme of this episode. Eh.
it's so weird how we tell people, okay, here is the cliche and I like irony, right? We tell people, don't fall into the blue belt blues, don't quit. But, and we're like, just get in, train, do something. And you know, we're promoting this adding mentality of like always add more, always do more, always do extra, get in the gym outside of class hours. And again, these things are valuable, but I'm getting to a point. We never think that to become better means to subtract, to take away. Maybe instead of killing yourself 7 days a week, dial that back to 4 or 5 days of really focused, valuable training. And 2 days, either do like active recovery, take off, spend time with your family. Because people don't realize like those things can heal you more than the gym can. Like I didn't realize like how much I loved, like I actually fell in love with working out again, where I started doing strength and conditioning again on days I don't go to jujitsu. But by doing that, because we've got a home gym, I'm actually also spending more time with my significant other, with our dogs, doing things like that. So that's helped our relationship so much more. And because we have a healthier relationship, like we didn't not have one, but because it's helped it so much just from being home more, when I am elsewhere, I don't feel as guilty. Because it was like, oh, I never see them anymore. I'm at the gym all the time. You know, there was always like this negativity that I don't have now. It's like what Natalie says, it's the holistic approach, it's everything.
Well, you're giving yourself balance
Yeah.
is what you're doing. And what's funny is, like, as you
Were
talk
you
about
just
it,
like,
seeing
who
say
the fuck
this,
is this person?
no, I think it's not even that. I think it's something that you needed. It's like you're so much more, I don't want to say you were uptight before, because that's not the
Rigid.
word.
No, I think I was rigid.
Because you were doing so much, and now you're just like, I just want to spend time with my dogs and my significant other. That's, but you're getting that. You didn't have that. You were spreading
No.
yourself so thin. And I always go back to Parks and Rec, that when Leslie was running for councilwoman, and she was doing everything,
Interesting.
right? And Ron Swanson said, "You can't
It's like you can't have
half-ass
two things.
everything."
Yeah, you need to like
Yeah,
coalesce one
that's
thing.
one thing. And it's true. And
It really is.
the quality of like my work and what I was doing went down because I was spreading myself so thin. It was almost to the point where I had to be two places at one time. Like, what can I do at this job that I can do remotely at another job? Or like, what can I do remotely for one job so I can do it while I'm in person at another job? And I'm like, I can't live like this. So quitting the college and dropping another job after that. And now I'm like so focused and excited for the projects I get to do now and I can move forward. I was terrified at first, terrified because I was like, how am I going to pay the bills and do this? They're jobs, like they're going to help me do that. Because at first it just felt like I was like losing everything. And I'm like, no, I'm okay. I'm going to be okay. And I'm like, not rushing to do a competition because I think as we like, go through the rest of this episode, we should touch on the fact that you're not competing right now.
Oh, it's fucking great.
I
Good.
think that needs to be an episode alone, is you not competing right now.
Yeah.
Because we could probably go into a lot more depth on that. Because in turn, what I would like to talk about as well is you and I are both now purple belts. We've both been through the blue belt process. And I think what's happening is our journeys as blue belts were so different from each other's.
It's
And
like
now
we've
our
like
journey's at
crossed.
purple. Yes. And the journey's at purple because you are taking on less responsibility. And I think it's so good to see you like this. Like you being at the retreat and having fun and connecting with people, you didn't have to teach while you were there. You didn't have to do anything that you were required to do. Like you just got to train. You got to connect. You got to do these things, and you're so used to being the person who has to give and support and teach and lead that you don't have to do that. And accepting the fact, like, it's cool. Other people can do this. Like, you need to chill and relax. And
Learning,
that's kind of
actually,
like,
mainly learning how to do that.
which is hard as somebody who has to, like, I've always had to be in a responsible position growing up. Like, people who know my childhood and know all these things know everything I've been through and taking on that responsibility. My leadership role that I'm taking on is because I'm putting things in place to, as like, either preventative measures or making it something that's more efficient. Like I'm doing things that I want to do, but I can also say, hey, I don't want to do it. Like I don't want to teach. So I'm
See,
not. So that's why I give up Mondays.
I never learned that. I never learned where it's okay to say no, because people pleaser. I didn't really realize that that's what I was until here recently. And another fun fact that people listening are probably going to be like, again, who is Keely? I journal every day now. I picked up daily, lose your shit, guys. Daily affirmations, breath work, that was hard. That's still hard. And daily journaling have really helped just where I'm at and like feeling and actually learning how to feel. That's for one. But in terms of this year, if I could say like the three biggest things, one would have been actually learning how to ask for support by identifying my wants and needs for me. Only me, no one else. Two, not tying my worth to my performance. That goes into why I'm not competing right now. And three, and this is one that it's like as we were talking, I kind of realized was just just because you can be a leader doesn't mean you should. And that's been the hardest, where I've always been used to like kind of like being the upper rank female, being like the go-to, doing the women's coach, doing so much for other people because I'm the reliable one. I'm the consistent one. You know, sometimes like it's honestly, those words have been pissing me off more than anything lately, because it's like, just because I am doesn't mean I should be the one killing myself at the gym every day. I shouldn't be the one always paired with new people, regardless of if they're a man or woman. Some days I just want to be me. I just want to exist. I don't have the energy after dealing with people to deal with people. Right. And so especially like I took a pause on like the women's classes, because they were Saturdays. We did like a whole schedule change where we were doing comp classes first thing Saturday morning. I would literally go to work either before comp class, do comp class, be stuck in traffic an hour, go teach a women's class, then go back to work. And that was my whole Saturday. I didn't have a life. Like I spent it either going in training, teaching, or going to work. You know, I barely saw my family. And then I was like, okay, you know, we're hitting the holidays, I'm taking a break. And then we've been in discussion since this schedule changed where I'm like, I'm not doing weekends anymore. Like I'm not. Like if you want this service, if you want this, then it's going to be like a Monday or Tuesday afternoon. It's going to be when all of the other classes are. It's going to be, you know, where everybody's not like, oh, I want to go to jujitsu, but I also want to just go do this. Look, I want to too. You know, so it's been honestly great finally stepping back and being like, not I don't give a fuck, but pretty much I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think it's so cool to kind of see you go through this, because you're just like, what? It's, I understand what you're going through, because that's just how I am most of the time. And, but watching you go through something where you're like, I'm not sacrificing my well-being.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody else, because that's what you are doing.
Yeah.
And to see you say like no is a really good thing. Like yeah. it's good to see.
Well, I think it also ties into the whole viewing my worth as performance too, where it wasn't just competing, it was also, what can I provide for you that you'll give a fuck about me? You know, where it's, if I am the one to make sure, like to help try to bring people in, if I'm the one trying to teach classes, if I'm the one that anytime somebody's like, hey, I need extra training, if I'm always that person, then maybe I'll feel like I'll be needed enough and somebody will notice, and then you'll give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
But why would I care? Why do I care so much about you giving a shit if I had to do all that for it to happen?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think now mm-hmm. that like I'm finally, mainly through like you and David, even though I'm not there to actively feel like I'm giving you something, the fact that we still have the relationship we do has honestly shown me like people can care about you without you directly giving them something all the time.
Yeah. Well, and like watching you have to give a lot, like when you were at UFC Gym. That's all you are doing. Like, we would have a competition. We've talked about this on the podcast before, where we're like, how do we balance helping people and getting our own training in? And it's like,
we weren't.
That shouldn't even be a question. Like,
yeah.
Because, and one thing that I've learned to do is that when I am in class, I am, if you want to ask me for a help with technique, I'm gonna help you.
Mm-hmm.
But David's right there as well. And I've also gotten to a point where my training partners are also blue belts who can really get the technique. So I can drill
mm-hmm.
and I can help, but I'm still getting in the training. And they usually have the same goal as me, which is, hey, we're doing the Atlanta Open. Hey, we're doing pans. So we're getting our reps in. And what I'm also doing in turn is providing something for that women's class on Fridays to where it's okay. If I am selfish, I don't even want to use the term selfish because that means, I don't give a shit
No,
because I'm
selfish.
selfish.
Okay, sidebar. People think selfish is a dirty word, and it's not.
So I, well, like I have, my personal goals too, but what I'm doing is I'm gonna give an opportunity to break information down. And I've also stated as well, like, if you want help from me, I value my time. So we can do a private lesson outside of this, but we need to schedule it. And so what I'm doing is I'm like, how do I provide value to myself through this? And I'm like, I will do this for you. This is what I get in return. And that's only because I'm valuing what I have to offer. And now I'm doing that more and more, which is one of the reasons I quit the job. Because here's another thing. When I was at the college, they were asking me to add more and more and more to my workload without any compensation. And that workload increase was not included into my job description or the contract I signed. So I said, I am not going to do this unless you are increasing my compensation. They stopped asking me to do more work because I said no.
Quiet
And
hiring
say
is such a shitty thing. Where they're like, you're
that
good.
again.
It's called quiet hiring. So they don't want to actually make new positions, but they have all these responsibilities that would be enough for a position. But instead of doing that, they try to add these positions to other people that, like you said, like that wasn't in your work description. But they're like, you're good at these responsibilities and all this stuff. And they're like, oh, well, you're getting it for the experience. And it's like, no, I'm doing this to get paid.
Yeah, no, they asked me to go and do something that was completely outside of my workload. And I said, are you going to increase my compensation? No. Okay, then this isn't in my job description, so I don't have to do it. And that was that. Like, literally, that was that. Nothing else. And because I said, when are you going to start your hiring process for someone to fill this position?
And
He's
they were
like,
probably like, we weren't.
yeah, there was no timeline. So I was like, no. And that's something I am so proud of myself that I can do because I'm like, and there are times that like I will offer a service or just something for myself to say, hey, I'm willing to do this. Not even asking for compensation. I'm just saying, hey, I'm willing to do this to help. And if they're like, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I think what we've learned to do over this past year, both of us, especially being, we'll say, I want to say separated, but when we've been in our own environments.
I think independent because I didn't realize
Okay.
how much I leaned into you and David until I no longer had you to lean into.
Yes.
Like,
So,
we were so codependent.
I was so pissed when people would say you and I were codependent. I was like, no,
I
we're
would too. I
not.
was like, we can do things on our own. And
We
then
can
the second I moved, I was like, fuck, they were right.
well, and we can go into that. I know I'm like, oh, that's a good idea for another episode. This is a good idea as we're talking because this is going to be like an hour.
Okay,
And
this is gonna be like over an hour.
but I mean, the conversations we can have based off of this, because which we can talk about too, is our journeys in separate places. Because this, we're not the only people this happens to. You move away from your community. We talked about this at the retreat when somebody brought this up that they went to a new gym. When your own gym changes and there's shifts, like we had talked about, David and I had said how this is not a reflection of you. This isn't on you, but how I was enabled by your presence. I
Oh,
enabled myself. And that's not me saying that you enabled me on
don't
purpose. This was me
say
being like,
enabled.
oh, I
No,
have a crutch.
I love how you say enabled because that's how I describe our relationship. It was so I was actually talking to Natalie and she posed a question because I was like, I literally have like three people I'm like super close with. You, David, my significant other. And she was just like, well, how did you become close to them? She's like, well, did you like open up? And I was like, fuck no. Y'all just decided for me that you were going to be in my lives and like pushed your way in. And that enabled me because I didn't have to actually open up. And so once I moved out here, I was like, oh, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Because
Well,
honestly, but honestly, I was like, y'all enabled me to keep stay on my bullshit, but still have like a relationship.
yeah. Well, and I think something too, where it was like, what was the first competition we were at together? Was it Nogi
I think it was Nogi
Worlds?
Worlds.
So you and I were together for no, well, it was Gi Worlds-ish. I want to say ish
Yeah, Gi
because.
Worlds was like the first time we saw each other after the move.
And
Nogi
we competed.
Worlds. Yeah, Nogi Worlds. And then I saw you for the retreat. So I've seen you like three times. Well, four,
So
because I
for.
went to South Carolina.
So for Nogi Worlds, after we competed and we lost our first matches. But there was a shift in the mindsets from those losses. Okay. And I remember talking to you and I'm like, what? Why the fuck are you doing? It's like, because I had lost and I was like, cool. Like, I was like, I looked good out there. That's all that matters. And, but like, you know, we had talked and I was like, an honest question. I was like, what goes through your head when you walk on that mat? And you're like, nothing. And I was like,
That's about
why are
right.
you doing this? You know, like it was a real question, but I think it that's because was it after that you did the performance blueprint? Was it
It
that
was
cohort?
after that.
Yeah.
So I did, after Adult Worlds, I was just like, I finally had a moment of like, I belong here. That lasted like a hot minute. And then everybody was getting ready for Master Worlds. Because everyone in my gym, except for like two or three of us, they're all master competitors. The Master Worlds is like the only one that they really focus on, right? And so I wasn't old enough to do Masters. Originally, I was going to do Jujutsu Kan, and then a bunch of stuff happened around that time frame. Like, I lost a friend of ours. Like, we were at, like, it was just a crazy time. So I ended up not competing at Jujutsu Kan, but I got to see y'all for Master Worlds and then all of the shenanigans that went around Master Worlds. And then when it came to Nogi Worlds, it, the same thing that happened to me for Adult World happened again, where it was just like, it's really hard to get people in the gym committed when they aren't competing. And because they're all masters, it's kind of like, you're the one who's picking to do adult. And it's like, I'm limited to adult. It's not like I'm picking to do adult. I'm limited to adult. Like, so that's all I have. And so I wasn't getting that involvement. And like, another story for another time. And so Nogi Worlds, I was trying to change my whole game. And that was a shit show. And then before Nogi Worlds, I had accepted a super fight in San Diego with Artu Suave, where I needed to cut weight. And I was not in a good place the whole time. And then went out there, and this was nothing on them because like Kelsey Alfredo, like they were fucking amazing, took care of me the whole time. But I went alone and I almost DQ'd myself, and then I got myself out of the good headspace. Like, I was fucked up from the whole day, right? And then I lost, and I came back, and I sat down with the two black belts that had adopted me since Nogi Worlds, actually. It was right after that that they pretty much adopted me, and I changed my whole schedule just to go to them, Jeff and Dennis, and they're fantastic. And they looked at me, and they were like, why are you even competing? And I was just like, I don't know anymore. I'm not going to compete for 6 months to get myself in a better place because I'm not. And so that's kind of where we're at now, is just like, I just get to exist and be an annoying purple belt for the rest of my life. No,
I'll get your brown belt.
won't.
But it's really interesting to see though, like the growth that we've both experienced. And I mean, we can go into every single aspect of that growth and that experience. And even just you journaling every day is a lot. I don't even journal every day. I don't even do my affirmations. And I need to.
I think once I had like guidance, I was good.
Yeah. I have a good one. I found it at Marshall's, and I need to see if I can find more of those journals online, which is another guided journal. And I think I need to do a lot more of that, just to sit and do those things and give time to myself in the morning and at night, so I feel less crazy. And I need to work on task management, and that's like my next step, is literally managing my time, because people make fun of me for being late for everything, and that's fine. I have time blindness. It's an ADHD thing, and it's real, and I'm not using it as a crutch, but it makes me understand myself more. And I'm like, okay, like, to me, I can look at 20 minutes. So what a real 20 minutes is in live time, I convert in my head is 30 minutes. So what does that do? Make me 10 minutes late for everything.
Yeah.
I will be like, oh, I have 20 minutes. That's a ton of time. And then I'm like, oh, this is the time I'm supposed to almost be at the location, not be leaving. And I'm like, shit. But that's a real thing, to where I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm trying to work on that. That's like my next personal goal, like, for my well-being. But yeah, learning to do that.
Yeah. I feel like one thing we can definitely agree on is just the whole year for growth and finding balance is that we've given time to the things that bring value to us. And like you said, time to myself, you know, time for us to prioritize ourselves versus putting all of our effort, energy, and time to the things that don't personally bring us value.
Yeah. Cause like at the end of the day, jujitsu is a reflection of life, but it's not life. It's not.
It should add to your life, not be your life. Okay. And for us, where it's not about other people, it's not about other responsibilities, it's more of, are these things and responsibilities, obligations, all of these things that we put on ourselves, are they bringing us value? And figuring out what that value is. And if they aren't, then we're not spending all of our time doing them anymore. You know, we're either taking a step back, completely walking away, and then focusing on what we need, because if we can't address that, we can't help others. And I think that kind of ties back to what we were saying at the beginning, where this is for us to help others. So it's kind of hypocritical if we're not helping ourselves and we're trying to kind of preach the gospel in a way to other people, where it's like, that's not it. We can only help so much as we help ourselves. And so we've had to figure that out, mainly me, to be able to do anything.
Yeah. And I think that sums up everything that we had talked about. Like, we are valuing ourselves more and more. So whatever we're putting our energy towards, we're not doing it in a way where it's like, how can I benefit from this, but how can I recognize my value and make it worth it?
Yeah.
Because
And also, how are we benefiting from this now? I feel like a trap we always got into, and some people get into, is we do things based off of what we could potentially get, not what we're actually getting. Constantly being like, well, this has the potential to be great. Well, guess what? I've dumped so much of my time and soul into it, and it's not. When do I walk away?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have, like, in finances, there's a point you go bankrupt and then you're like, okay, maybe now's the time for me to pivot and walk away, right? We don't have that. We're going to run ourselves into the ground before we decide, oh, you know, this isn't it for me. I'm wiping my hands clean and going on doing my own thing.
Yeah. And time's a valuable thing. And it's just how you're utilizing that time and energy. And we're both realizing that in our own ways and aspects of our lives. But I mean, I think that's another conversation for another day, but like, you're turning 30 this year. You're entering your 30s, and
Finally.
have been here. Like, I'm gonna be 36. And it's so that's a weird number for me to like recognize that I am, but I've felt this shift. And when you enter your 30s, I think this is going to be a good topic on our own, is like we can really talk about it, because once you enter your 30s as well, you get more and more to the I don't give a fuck. And I think that's something I want to talk about more, because I started training jiu-jitsu after I turned 30. It was in between my 30th birthday and my 31st birthday. And I think we should definitely talk on that topic, because there's so many shifts that happen. And the cool thing is, as we are in our 30s with careers and jobs and lives and competing, we don't have to fucking make a living out of competing in jiu-jitsu. Like, if we don't want to fucking do it, we don't have to do it. And I have, like, that's a cool thing too, you know? So we also are learning to value who we are as people, not because 30's old, but because you live up into a certain point, you're just like, what the fuck have I been doing? And so I think we should, that's it. We should definitely
I think we
go
should
on
too.
about topic.
I think it's really funny how it's like it took us to purple to realize a lot of these things. And I'm like, I'm looking at other these other women, like the ones that we met at the retreat, and it's like, I don't want you to wait that long where you either have to suffer injuries, you've got to like you end up having to deal with toxic environments in your gym or putting up with these things and making allowances for other people when like you don't need to go through that. So I think that was kind of like the biggest importance was for us to be like, hey, no, like you have value. Not in jujitsu. And if you find joy in other things, do other things too. If you find joy in jujitsu, do that, but don't do it to the point where you no longer enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
So I think that,
First episode back that we were like, it's going to be a short
yes.
episode.
Oh, that's not at all. So
Oh, hey, baby.
hopefully
Dog
people
just snuck in the
continued.
room. Mommy.
So again, that concludes pretty much what we're talking about today, but it opens up so many new conversations, and we've met some cool people in the past year that we can definitely bring on the podcast.
Honestly,
And
even like this, even some conversations we've already had before, I feel like we feel so differently about them now.
met really interest I've met interesting people in this past year,
For
and
sure.
so many like friends of ours who've gotten black belts and other ranks, and new people who've come into this art.
And just more conversations to be had.
Yeah.
But again, when we feel like having them, I know some
Yeah.
people are like, you're not posting enough, you disappeared. Okay, well, guess what we did? If the podcast does well, that's fantastic. And we're grateful. And we are grateful for everyone who's stuck with us, all of the listeners. We are truly grateful and appreciative. But this is more to make sure that someone has a resource when we are able to give it, like, kind
Yeah.
of give that experience. We're not going to force it. And it's also, if the podcast never grows big, okay. It's like Misty said, this should be our passion project.
Yeah, I want to utilize this more as like you've said, a resource, and just, hey, this is an interesting thing that other people should know about. So we're going to talk about it. And I think this episode also gave people an idea of things we had to undergo in the past year, to where I think it's really cool. We also have provided value with previous episodes. And so being able to continue to do that, but on our own terms and time, and episodes. So episodes will be released on Wednesdays. We're not sure which Wednesdays. You'll just be surprised.
Him getting like dogs snuck in the room, like he thinks I
Oh,
don't notice,
Sunny.
but he sent the loud ones.
Keely has amazing animals, and I love them all. They're so cute.
I need to send you a picture with her goggles. She gets goggles now.
She's so cute. So yeah, so this concludes this episode, and we are excited to be back. And we hope you're excited we're back. And we'll you can follow my Instagram for sure. I'll keep everything updated there at what Misty does. And we'll have all your updates and other stuff too. So yes.
And then follow our Instagram at Black Belt or Bust, myself at Keely McCarty, and words. Feel free to email us if you're old school like me at ladiesofblackbelterbust@gmail.com. All right. Thanks,
Yes.
everyone.
Bye.